In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Jesus is talking about spreading the good news of salvation. Now, salvation is a word I'd like to talk to you about a little bit this morning, and it's one of those words that sometimes Episcopalians are not all that comfortable with. You know, sort of like evangelization and stewardship. But it's a good word and a useful word. And my hope is that we can take away some of the negative baggage and you can find that it's a helpful concept. Are you saved? Has anyone ever asked you that? I think that's a question that makes lots of Episcopalians uncomfortable. And if we hesitate, the person asking the question interprets that to mean that we're not sure and therefore are probably not saved. At least not according to their definition. Well, I'd like to take away your hesitation to give you a good, clear, firm, and sturdy answer. If anyone asks you, I'd like you to say in a strong voice, without hesitation, and a big smile, I have been saved. I'm being saved now, and I will be saved in the future. I suspect that the questioner might then want to engage you in conversation, wondering what in the world you mean by all that. And then when you explain yourself, well, let's think first. What does "are you saved" mean? Well, the idea saved or salvation is traceable all the way back to the beginning of the scriptures. The Hebrews saw God as the one who saved them from slavery in Egypt. For example, Psalm 68 also says, God is our salvation. The scriptures really are one story after another in which God saves his people. And Christians came to see salvation in a more spiritual dimension. And today, in our lesson from Acts, Peter is preaching, and in a different point in that sermon, he says, there is no name under heaven given among mortals except Jesus, by which we must be saved. Now, this concept received renewed emphasis during the Protestant Reformation. The reformers, beginning with Martin Luther, took a critical look at all aspects of the faith, and other reformers joined in, and some went even further. Huldrych Zwingli in Switzerland criticized the practice of baptizing infants. He noted that in the scriptures, beginning with John the Baptist, baptism was a rite of repentance and forgiveness practiced by adults. The risen Christ proclaimed in Matthew 28 that his followers were to go forth and baptize all nations, words much like the one in our gospel lesson today from Luke. Now, Zwingli's followers became known as Anabaptists, which means literally over again baptizers. In other words, if someone was baptized as an infant, they had to be baptized as an adult because it's their own decision and not one that was made for them by someone else. Now, Christians in this tradition, by the way, they dropped the first three letters. It became Baptist instead of Anabaptist. Christians in this tradition take great stock in what they call the conversion experience, a sincere and emotional repentance and a heart-changing decision to follow Christ. So, if someone were to ask you, are you saved? They are asking if you've had such a conversion experience. That's what they call being saved. In our baptism service, which perhaps we were baptized as an infant or maybe later, or we've renewed our baptismal vows, I'm sure, many times, there are six questions that are asked to the candidate. And one of them is, do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? And we answer, I do. Now, this is indeed a very important point, because somehow, some way, we all need to make this decision to accept Christ as our Savior and to follow him. But is that the end of the story? Sometimes when people ask us if we're saved, it seems like that's all they want to know, and the story ends there. But it does not end there. I myself am in need frequently of renewing my baptismal covenant. I'm glad we have holy water, because I like to use that to sign the cross and a little token renewal of my baptismal vows. And every time I make the sign of the cross in the service, my prayer is, Lord, help me to be more Christ-like. So because we are human, we all need to continually repent and renew our commitment to Christ. But that's not all. There's a lot more. Our personal salvation story continues from there. Now, it's interesting that in theology, I'm going to give you two more big words. You can impress people with big words at lunch today. There are two aspects of salvation. The first one is called justification, and that means being put in a right relationship with God. And Martin Luther was famous for saying that we're justified by faith alone, not by works. So justification, I've been talking about that. But then there's a second part. It's called sanctification. Another big word, but it just means becoming more like Christ and doing Christ's work in the world, the mission that he's given to us. So in our daily lives, as we live out our salvation or sanctification, we grow and we are saved again and again. It happens all the time and in all sorts of ways. In the New Testament, being saved, forgiven, and healed are all wrapped up into one thing. I imagine that probably most of you have heard the rowboat story. Have you? Put up your hand if you've heard the rowboat story. Okay, a couple hands. Okay, I'm going to ask you again in a minute, because I bet you have. But here's the short version, as short as I can make it. Man lived in a place that was experiencing a flood. As the waters rose, he prayed to God that God would save him. In a little while, his neighbors came by and saw him standing out on the porch and said, come with us and we'll take you to safety. He said, no, I've prayed and I know that God is going to save me. The waters came up a little higher, and he's standing on the porch railing, and a neighbor comes by in a rowboat and says, hop in, I'll take you to dry land. And he says, no, that's okay, God's going to save me. Okay, now how many have heard this? A lot of people. And then finally the waters were up to his rooftop. He got up on the roof and a helicopter came by and he waved him off, thinking, all right, I don't need the helicopter, God's going to save me. Well, he drowned. He went to heaven and he said to God, I prayed that you would save me. How come you didn't save me? And God said, I sent your neighbors, the rowboat and the helicopter. What more did you want? I know that's a simple little story, but it does make, a profound point, one we need to think about. You know, when is it that God's sending us the rowboat? Maybe we don't realize that's what it is. Sometimes also, I believe, God wants us to be the one to row the rowboat. A few weeks ago, my wife and I received a check in the mail for $5,000 and some, and it was a refund from refinancing our house, which we'd done a few months earlier. We were pretty happy to get that unexpected check. The very next day, I was informed that we needed a new air conditioning unit, which cost $5,000 and some dollars. Now, we can interpret that several ways. One of bad luck or a coincidence, or you could think that God maybe had something to do with it, which is how my wife and I both see it. So I've been very grateful ever since. I believe that God is constantly offering salvation. I picture it like if Jesus were in a boat, he's throwing us a life ring, and we're thrashing around in turbulent water, and he pulls us to safety. So what are we saved from? Well, that turbulent water could be anything. It could be cancer. I've had it. I empathize with people who have it, and I know lots of people who do. And I wonder if they have moments when they are questioning whether their treatment is worth it, whether they'll ever survive and get back to some good quality of life. And then when they're feeling that way, let's say they get a phone call from someone who's cheerful and cares about them, and they can hear it in the voice of the person talking. And when they hang up, they feel better. That can happen, and does. And it happens when they get a card, or a phone call, or especially a visit. We're saved from all kinds of things, big and small. Sometimes it might be a staff member in the hospital who's cheery. It could be intangible things like music or a movie or, God help us, even a television show. God saves in mysterious ways. We can be saved from grief. We can be saved from broken relationships. I think God must have a special angel who watches over me in traffic. I won't tell you what I did, but I'll just say that I said, "Thank you, Lord," many times. This morning it was really foggy down where I live. And also, we don't need to be worried about the future, because God's in our future. We have hope, because we know that God wins the ultimate victory. Now, as I said, salvation occurs in all sorts of ways, and I'm not sure this morning exactly what you need to be saved from. But I think I can safely say, whatever it is, God's a part of that being saved. And God wants to save all of us from whatever it is that ails us, whatever it is that causes us pain and grief and sorrow. So, I hope that we will all look for God to send us that lifeline. And as I said, I'd also like it if we all knew our role in offering that lifeline to others. Perhaps we're the people who work for justice in a better world, save the hungry, take care of the poor, the elderly, the shut-ins. All of that is part of God's salvation for all people. So, once again, if somebody asks you, "Are you saved?" I hope you will say, with a big smile and a strong voice, "I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved." Let's try it. "I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved." Right. By the loving acts of God in the past, especially in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been saved. In the present, we're being saved daily by God's forgiveness and mercy. And we will also be saved in the future by God's forgiving love and mercy. So, the good news is, I think you're all saved. Pretty sure. So tell your friends with boldness if they ask you. At the last service, one woman said her granddaughter asked her that. So, amen. Amen.